afternoon. So I've 10 minutes, so somebody tell me whenever I'm done. I always, you know, as I said to Trevor yesterday when he said, you know, give your testimony in 10 minutes, you know, a man said to me one time, if you ever get an opportunity to testify for the Lord, do it, you know, and glorify God. I mean, you probably don't know it, but I'm very nervous standing up here. This feels like I'm on trial. Thanks, Pastor. So anyway, I'll not waste my 10 minutes, and I'll not waste the Lord's time either. So I grew up in a Christian home, and I'll just put that in inverted commas, you know. My mother knows the Lord, and she walked with him well. My dad professed to know the Lord. His actions wouldn't have shown the same, unfortunately. So I'm going to share some very personal things tonight. It's not to glorify the devil, but you know, God gloriously delivered me in my life. And I must stand up here tonight and tell you about these things. Because maybe there's somebody in here tonight that doesn't believe that the God of heaven can touch a heart and transform it. But he is able. So at the age of 13, I went to a Christian camp called Cremeen. And I did make a profession of faith. And I do believe the Lord saved me that day. And I went home and I started to read my Bible and do my quiet times. But slowly but surely, as I went back to school, you know, things got a bit cold. Now, I went to church, and I can say honestly, as I look back, you know, my language and things weren't abrupt or weren't bad, you know, but actions slowly but surely weaned in. And at age 16, I left the school I went to, which was predominantly a Protestant school, and I moved to a school in Clonus called Largie. And I would have been, it was predominantly Roman Catholic. At that time, I would say the devil really got a hold on me because I started going out with my friends from school, whereas when I was at the collegiate, I would have attended socials and, you know, I would have went to youth clubs and done that sort of thing. But that sort of all came to an end when I went to Largie. At age 19, I was in a church meeting and there was money coming from a cross-border community thing in order to fund a hall, and a lady who used to be a Sunday school teacher said something that night, and it's funny how Andrew was talking about this morning, but I made the decision that night, if this is what Christianity is about and all the hypocrisy that's in it, I'm not having any of this. Because at the time I had a lot of Roman Catholic friends, and I just thought this was disgusting what this woman had come out with. So I went on and I lived my life. And my life consisted of this. I knew that money would come with success. So I was driven in success. I wanted to be successful at something. I didn't know what. As it turns out, it became chefing. So at age 19, I started training in Galway as a chef. And Galway is a fun city for a young man. And unfortunately, that was no good for my life. But I ran into a guy called John Long, and it's funny how God keeps his hand on you. And John Long knew that I loved to play a bit of rugby. So John said, if you don't come into your cooking lectures right, you're not playing for the college rugby team. So I came to my cooking lectures, and I finished my college. And I thank John for that every time I meet him. I went off to London and worked in London for a while, and then I came back to Ireland and I worked in a restaurant in Cavan there called The Old Post. Then the recession hit, and my boss wanted to put me on a three-day week, and I says, no, Jerry, you'll not do that. I'm too good for that. So I went over to Ballina in Mayo and worked in a place called the Ice House Hotel. I was living in the world, and I was living like a chef, and I'll say this for the chef industry. They might glamorise it on television, but a lot of those guys have a lot of bad habits, and I don't mean just in their language, in many other things. And I'm not any different than that, but I'm not going to stand here and testify, but there's one thing I must say. One addiction did get a hold of me, and that was gambling. And you know what? It held me and bound me, and I didn't even know I was bound up in it. So, 28 years of age, a right while later, I stood in Galway, nothing different about that. I was there for a weekend of racing, and something spoke to me. And there was a part of me saying, no, go home, you have to go to work. But something spoke to me to go and speak to this man. Now, this man isn't a saved man. And I sat in the house with a friend of mine in Athenry in Galway after a normal weekend where I went and drank and went to the horses and messed about. And I sat in the house that night and he opened his laptop and he says, Roy, I'm writing a book And he says, when I was 13 years of age, I sat on a hill out the back of the village where we live, called Smithborough. And he says, and I called out to heaven and I said, God, if you're there, show me truth. And all he said was those words. And in a second, God broke me. Now, he didn't know what was happening. And I don't even think I really knew what was happening. But I got upstairs and kind of, I was crying. And at the same time, I always knew that there was something missing from my childhood. Some wee bit of happiness that I'd received somewhere along the line. That was God. So I'm glad that God touched me that day, and the next week was amazing. You know, I never knew. I went to a Presbyterian church, and I'm not, they're good people. Look, I'm not here to run down any church, but we always spoke about the Holy Spirit, and I didn't know who this Holy Spirit was. But the Holy Spirit led me that week. Through a whole week, I'd stand in the kitchen where I'd go to open my mouth and blaspheme some waitress. God would say, no, Roy, I didn't teach you to speak that way. When my eyes would go and look at something that they shouldn't, God would say, no, not you, Roy. And come on the Sunday, there was a mission on in a little fellowship in Good Hill, and the Lord touched me, and he said to me, go to the thing. I was working, I couldn't get out of work. The restaurant was busy, I couldn't get out. There was about 10 covers booked in the evening time, we'd done 130 for lunch. And I went in, and Jerry said, that 10 covers is after cancelling. And I was surprised. He says, right, take the evening off. I got on my chef's uniform, got on my jacket, and went to this mission. And I couldn't tell you what the pastor was talking about that night. I don't know, but for the first time in a long time, I sat in a church and I was smiling. You can smile too if you want, it's okay. So I sat there. I don't know what the message was about, but I remember this one thing. There was a wee man sitting at the door, and he said to me at the end of the night, what about it, Roy? Are you saved? And I says, yes, I am. You see, God did save me at 13 years of age, but I decided to go my own way and do my own thing. So I waited a long time that night, and I have to say, Lee will testify to this, wouldn't be the most patient man in the world, but God is working on that, and we're getting there. So it took about 11 o'clock that night before the pastor was on his own, and I says, can I speak to you? And I told him about everything that had gone on that week. And we went into the vestry and we spoke, and I just explained to him, and he was kind of surprised, like, you know, because I was speaking as it. I can't speak about, you know, religious things, but I can speak about the experience that God has brought me through. And he said, you know what, Roy, sometimes people take Jesus as a saviour, but not as Lord. And I said, is that what he wants? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, let's do this. Let's do this. Because I said, I am fed up with my life. I knew my life was a mess. Now, looking in, you'd think I was doing all right. A good job. You know, looked like I was holding it together. Oh, it looked okay, you know. Looked rosy. But, you know, something inside me, my soul cried out for the God of heaven. And, you know, that night, I recommitted my life to Jesus. And I can say, standing here, and I testify to this, God is amazing. Amazing. I can't tell you how many things that I have seen in the last 3 years that are just amazing. And, you know, maybe it's on my face, but if I could give you a little piece of what God has given to me, well, you said, I'd be running for the front. So I joined the fellowship that I came to the mission in, and started studying the Word. And God had been very good to me. I'd moved into a little house in a place called Red Hills on my own. And God spoke to me about how Paul went into Arabia. He had a time of preparation for him. And there I was on my own in this house. And I used to have so many people around me. Lots of people to buffer me up and tell me. But God put me in there. And he kept the devil away from me. And he gave me time to read the Word and to grow in that love for Jesus, you know. And I learned to hear the Holy Spirit speak to me. And I learned the leading and the guiding of the Lord. And I'm still learning it to this day. And I'll still be learning it when I'm as grey as some of you people, but you'll not see them on my head. I have to say, you know, I learned a lot of difficult things. And, you know, there was times when I went through challenges, again, with church people. But God delivered me through them. And I can say it, he is a deliverer of those that seek him diligently. But it was diligence. You know, when there was times when men pointed their finger at me and said, oh no, what would you know? You're young in the faith. And I remember this man coming to the shop one time with a book. And he handed me, and he knew nothing about me. There was four wee verses. Now, I didn't know my Bible, but he'd been seeking God for me. And those four verses got me through 2 months of very difficult times. where Christians were pressing in on me and telling me that I was wrong and you don't know what you're doing. And I'm not speaking against those Christians, because you know what, it was a glorious time. God taught me about a thing called grace. And I learned about that thing called grace. You know, when somebody speaks a word about you, bless them. Bless them. There's nothing greater for your own soul than to bless another. Because you know what happens is, eventually that blessing will become a blessing, and then they'll become a blessing, and it'll go out through this world. I moved churches then, after a while, and that was God's movement. And you know what? Shortly after that, I was at a camp, and I was sitting in a prayer meeting, and I was seeking God for young lives to come to know Jesus. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me when a young lady walked into the room and said, "This is going to be your wife." Now, you'd think I would have jumped up and said, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, 2.5 years, woo!" No, I didn't. I sat because I knew the holiness of God was there. And that's something that I'm learning, you know, to sit quiet in the holiness of God. Sometimes it's just nice to sit in His presence and to sit at His feet and just to worship Him. Now, I will say this as I stand here tonight. I'm not where I would like to be. But many of you here would be like that tonight, and you'll say, "You're not where you'd like to be." But I know this, that God is moving in me, and He's moving through you as well. I'm working in a cafe in Cavan, and at 24 years of age, myself and my sister took that on together as a business. I no longer own that. In 2013, I signed that over. That was God's will. Was it hard for me to give that up? No, because that business owned me, and it was my master. Now God is my master. He opened the door for me to start to go to prayer meetings, to be involved in youth groups, to be involved in camps. He has told me to go out into places through other things, and has been very good to me financially when I have done it. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and give you some prosperity gospel rubbish, because I don't believe in it. But I believe the Lord blesses those that do His work, and it can be in many different ways. It just happened to be at that time financially. I want to say this, and I say this with a heavy heart. I meet many believers, and like yourselves, they sit in churches, and they don't know any better. But God is trying to do a thing in Abbots Cross here, and I do believe this. We came here twice, and I used to come here, and I'm not saying anything because there's probably missionaries in this room, but He came here and there was missionary meetings on, and I was like this, because I was used to God pumping me up at home, Spirit filling me, and giving me something that I'd never experienced. And then one night I come here, and there was a guy called Michael here, and I was sitting up in there, and I could hardly sit in the seat for the anointing that was on that man. And God wanted me to come down here to the front, and I couldn't come because for the first time in my life I had to bring somebody with me. It's hard enough to get yourself to come to the front, but I had to bring somebody with me. So we were going across for tea, and he says, "You think we need to go to that man?" He's like, "Let's go back here." So we went in and spoke to Michael, and he shared something with us about what the Lord wants us to do. And as I sat in that room in there, I wept, because the Lord still wanted to use me. And I just felt it was amazing. So God speaks in this place. And I do believe God has spoken to people here many times. But you know what? Maybe sometimes in our own hearts, we're so busy with the day or the church dinner or whatever it is. But sometimes maybe when you go home at night after Sunday service, "Lord, maybe I missed something that You had for me to say today. Lord, will You speak again in Your mercy? And let me listen. Let Your servant listen this time, Lord." How are we doing for time?
Nearly there.
Nearly there. I've seen many things, as I said, and I'm not going to boast in any gifts or any wisdom or any of those things. But the one thing I will say, everything that God has given to me is for every man, woman and child in this room. And I do believe this with all my heart. If the people of this nation rise up for God, this nation will be transformed. There was a man that stood on this platform once, and the only reason I knew his name was I heard my mother speaking about Sammy Workman. And I do believe that there's many people in churches, and I'm not saying we need church buildings, because we need somewhere to fellowship. But there's many people in churches that are sick and fed up of not seeing God's work fulfilled. Don't stand in the way of God's work. Listen to what the Holy Spirit would say, and allow God to move in His people. Now, I am hungering for God. And I hope that every man and woman in this room will receive this hunger. Because when you do, the Bible says this, that you shall be filled. You shall be filled. I have a wee bit of scripture to read here. I nearly forgot about it. Going on. A wee story to tell you. So I was driving along in the car one day, and I drive a wee bit fast sometimes. But the Lord will help me get away from that too. You can pray for me. And there was a wee bird flew out across the front of the car, and it hit the car. And it didn't die. It got caught between the radiator and the front grille. But it was in there, and the Lord told me to stop. So I pulled up, got out, and here was this. It could have been a robin redbreast. I ain't colourblind. It looked like a robin greenbreast to me. But that was okay. So I said to myself, right, how am I going to get this guy out? So I tried to get my hand in, but my hand wasn't, you know, small enough to get in between the grill. And he was pretty calm, like, considering the trauma he was after going through. So that was fine. So I said to myself, what am I going to do? And, like, all these people were driving along the side of the road, and it wasn't stopped in a great place. And they're like, what's this lunatic at, you know, sticking his hand into the front of the car? Like, what's he doing? But anyway, after a time, I realised, pop the bonnet, and I'll get my hand down the front, and I'll get him out. So I got him out, and I put him up on the hedge. And there he sat. He sat happy and peaceful, knowing that somebody had cared for him. God told me to share that story tonight, and I just want to leave this one wee verse of scripture. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up on wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Thank you.